Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindaki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakurki, Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Bhakti Vrindaki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhanki, Sri Vrindavan Damki, Sri Gangamaiki, Sri Jamunamaiki, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharaniki, The Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki, The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shamasundar Ki, The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki, The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki, Iskandu Ramanrati Dham Ki, Ntai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Balaram. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 28.
Manyetvam kalamishanam. Anadi nidanam vibhum.
Anadi nidanam vibhum.
Samam charantam sarvatra.
Samam charantam sarvatra.
Bhutanam yanmita kali.
Bhutanam yanmita kali.
Manye tvam kalamishanam.
Manye tvam kalamishanam.
Anadi nidanam vibhum. Samam charantam sarvatra.
Samam charantam sarvatra.
Bhutanam yanmita kali.
Bhutanam yanmita kali.
Manye tvam kalamishanam.
Manye tvam kalamishanam.
Anadi nidanam vibhum.
Anadi nidanam vibhum.
samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmita kali manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibhum sam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmita kali manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmita kali manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmita kali
matters
manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmita kali manye tvam kalam ishanam anadi nidanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanmita kali
manye I consider tvam your lordship kalam the eternal time ishanam the supreme lord anadi nidanam without beginning and end vibhum all pervading samam equally merciful charantam distributing sarvatra everywhere bhutanam of the living beings yat mitaha by intercourse kali dissension translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada translation my lord I consider your lordship to be eternal time the supreme controller without beginning and end the all-pervasive one in distributing your mercy you are equal to everyone the dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse purport Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. She knew perfectly well that Krishna is the primeval Lord who lives in everyone's heart as the supreme soul, Paramatma, as the super soul, Paramatma. Another name for the Paramatma feature of the Lord is Kala, or eternal time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad, and thus resultant reactions are destined by him. It is no use saying that we do not know why or for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at the present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore he knows everything, past, present, and future. And because the Paramatma feature of Lord Krishna destines all actions and reactions, he is the supreme controller also. Without his sanction, not a blade of grass can move. The living beings are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. The devotees of the Lord do not misuse their freedom, and therefore they are the good sons of the Lord. Otherwise, who misuse freedom are put into miseries destined by the eternal Kala. The Kala offers the conditioned souls both happiness and miseries. It is all predestined by eternal time. As we have miseries uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked, for they are all predestined by Kala. No one is therefore either an enemy or friend of the Lord. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. This destiny is made by the living beings in course of social intercourse. Everyone here wants to lord it over the material nature, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. He is all-pervading, and therefore he can see everyone's activities. And because the Lord has no beginning or end, he is known also as the eternal time, Kala. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jana Jana Shalakya Chakshu Nintam Yama Kasmai Shri Guru Pumala Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Dhikalesha Mati Shila Bhagavad Kavriti Namani Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Tankaja Dhyani Prabhupada Nupadaya Namah Shri Vrindata Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalesha Mati Shila Bhakti Vedanta Samani Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vachayana Nirvishesha Sunni Vali Pastra Tadeshi Tanya Hare Krishna. So, last night Radha Ashtami, you know, we didn't get our traditional cake and ice cream, so I thought I'll try some last night, and boy, it didn't work too well. I forgot that I had to give class this morning, messes up my throat, so bear with me, this is not COVID-19. So, in this verse, Kunti Devi is continuing to offer her prayers. And one thing that struck me is the composition of this verse, how condensed it is, so much information that is encompassed. And that proves Kunti Devi's qualification of the understanding of the personality of Godhead. So it appears to be contradictory in the 20th verse where Kunti Devi pray that the Lord came down to bestow transcendental devotional service and to give the benefit to everyone, especially, you know, the ones who are so qualified. So then she ended that verse by saying, how can we women understand you perfectly? So when I read this verse, I was thinking, she understood Krishna perfectly. You know, she definitely understood Krishna perfectly. So it proves her position, that whether you're identifying her with her body as a female form, or if you see her real transcendental nature. Because by understanding this verse, by reading this verse, it's so well composed that it takes the highest of qualified devotees to make such a presentation. So she's definitely as great as or greater than the sages, no doubt about it. That she's so much of a yogi, she's so much of a transcendentalist, that she is fully aware of this knowledge of the Lord. Just like Radharani, one of her names is Hari Rasa Pandita, that she knows the best of rasas for Lord Hari. With all, she appears to be a very simple village girl. So similarly, Kunti Devi here And actually, Srila Prabhupada says, he says that these pastimes, I mentioned in the last class, that these pastimes are none different from the pastimes in the 10th canto with the Rasa Leela and Krishna's relationships. So, these with the Pandavas, they're none different, which means that these devotees are similarly qualified. And here, Kunti Devi is proving that point. And later we would understand, down in the 13th chapter or so, when she quits home, that by her yogic power, she set herself ablaze. And that's how she quit her body. So she's no doubt a very great yogi, very great transcendentalist, very learned scholar. All these qualities are there. So when I looked at this verse and purport, I was thinking that I have no doubt in my mind that any student can write a thesis on this verse and purport and graduate with their PhD from the best universities in the world. I have no doubt about that. So much that information is composed and compiled in this one verse and purport. So powerful. So here Kunti Devi is relating and describing one aspect of the Lord, that who he is, that he's eternal time, he's neutral to everyone. And this immediately reflects, when I read this, I reflect on what Krishna instructs Arjuna back in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam. So he's saying that anyone who understands him and knows him to be the benefactor and beneficiary of everyone, and that he's the friend of all. Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Suhrit, the friend. I think there are many names for friends, right? In Sanskrit. But Suhrit, it has a particular denotation. It's not an ordinary friend. It's a benefactor. It's one who cares eternally about someone else. So that's a very special type of friend. Suhrit. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Just like the devotee expanding on the qualities of the Lord or imbibing the qualities of the Lord is also described. Suridam Sarva Dehinam. Same thing in the Bhagavatam. So Kunti is explaining this aspect that Krishna is the enemy or friend of no one, that he is equal to everyone. So this calls for a lot of understanding. If not, one can be very, very easily deluded or betrayed or discouraged in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes when you read verses like this, or when we read purport like what Srila Prabhupada gave here, suddenly we think, well, okay, if Krishna is equally exposed and disposed to everyone, and sometimes we are devotees and we're suffering materially or for some reason in Krishna consciousness, and there are some materialists or karmis, non-devotees, who are flourishing so much, then what is our position? Is it a benefit for us to be a devotee or not? You know, that we're struggling so much, and this is what we get. Like, I remember one time, one of my godbrothers, before he got initiated, he was riding his motorcycle and he got into a very bad accident. So he was in the hospital. Not sure he lost an arm or a leg or something like that. And when devotees went to visit him, he was so upset. He was saying, just see, look what I got for being a devotee. Look what I got. And I've been trying so hard, and this is how Krishna rewards me. So obviously there was a limit of the understanding there. So sometimes we can think like that. And of course, is not very mature. But we have to understand, as Kunti Devi here is explaining, this aspect of Krishna, that he is equally disposed to everyone. Why? Because he is everyone's father. We are all his children. And the father or the parent generally don't have discrimination or favoritism for one child over the other, even though it might appear to be so sometimes. But they are equally disposed to everyone, and they are wishing well everyone. And they are giving, they would like to give equal share of everything to everyone. So here it's describing Srila Prabhupada is saying that here the Lord gives everyone what they deserve. And he is just observing them. Even though he is the one that is controller and being responsible for their actions and reactions, but he doesn't do so directly. Like the previous verse appears to be contradictory also, because it says Krishna doesn't deal with that. But ultimately he's the controller, and he allows us, and here's what Kunti Devi is talking about, that dissensions come only through our social intercourse, our daily activities, that how we carry our lives, how we carry ourselves, what we get entangled in, then that becomes our reaction, depends on what actions we get involved in. So everything is provided, and how we deal with it, how we accept it, how we treat it, how we respond to it, then that's how we're going to carry on from there on. I remember my first job, I was working for a company, and in the beginning stages of that company there, the man only had two sons, and one of the sons, he was very naughty. You know, they were growing in riches, and he just got wild. He was sporting and drinking, and he wasn't taking the responsibility in his father's company as the father was expecting him to. And the other son, he was taking responsibility. So at one point, the father got so disgusted. And so the company was still small, growing. So he said, you know what? I'll give you your share. He got him married, gave him all facilities. And then he said, I'm going to give you your share of this company at this stage. And you can take it as I do with the other child, and you can do whatever you want with it. So one son took it to heart, and he grew the company, which eventually became, at my time being there, was the biggest company in the making in the country. And the other one, he squandled everything out, and he ended up being a bum on the street. And afterwards, he starts blaming his father, that his father wasn't taking care of him. So the idea is that he was given what he deserved. So similarly, Krishna is giving us what we deserve. And how we take that is going to determine how qualified we are in Krishna consciousness or even in material consciousness. So as we take it, then, and how we use it, then that's what's going to determine what the results of our activities are. Everything is stated there like a law book. If you hit here, you're going to get that reaction. You perform these activities, that reaction is there. You buy a ticket and fly to Japan, then you're going to get facilities in Japan. You're not going to get facilities in India because you choose to go in that direction. So all these things are there, and depends on how you choose to use it, then it's all there. So if we choose to use things in a good way, in other words, Krishna is saying that we are all independent. He gave us all our independence. And how we use our independence, then that would determine how our life goes on. So the best way to use our independence as living entities is to use it to be dependent on the will of the Lord. So I'll repeat that. The best way to use your independence is to be dependent. Is to use that independence by your choice to be dependent on the will of the Lord. To be dependent in devotional service. So, if we do that, that's how Srila Prabhupada describes here somewhere that we become the good sons of the Lord. Of course, this is written in the masculine gender, so by that we understand that it's sons and daughters of the Lord. Many times the scriptures are written like that from a masculine point of view, but it refers to both masculine and feminine. So, if we choose to be dependent, if we choose to use our independence to be dependent, then we become the good children of the Lord, and our success is guaranteed in devotional service. We might not always be successful materially, because whatever is assigned to us, that will be there. Excuse me. Whether we ask for it or not. Just like in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada is saying that just like happiness and distress comes, happiness comes without we asking for it, distress comes without we asking for it also. So it all depends on what we are deserving of, what we deserve, what is assigned to us, then those things would come. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says, he says the only thing that is not short in this world, the only thing that is short in this world, or the only thing you have to make special endeavor for, is to strive for devotional service. Everything else in this world is available. Devotional service you have to strive for. So, if we keep our choice in that direction, then this is going to be there. This information will be there. And Krishna, in the form of Kala, as Kunti Devi is describing here, this one feature of the Lord, would witness these activities, would award the necessary reactions to our activities, and always wishing us the best. He's always our greatest benefactor. He's always wishing us and hoping that we would do the best. So, as we pass through our different stages of life, we have the choice how to use these activities or how to use these facilities. Like the last time we briefly talked about the three principles of life. Now here they are the seven stages of life. So the seven stages are spills, drills, trills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. So, let me explain that. So, spills is like the little baby, they're spilling everything, including stool and urine, they're spilling. And then as it starts growing, then they're being drilled to learn their ABCs, to learn their 1, 2, 3s, to get education, they're being drilled. And as they become a youth, they're becoming thrilled with the world around them, very thrilling. They're being very excited to get exposed to all different things. Nowadays, everyone wants to get exposed to all the credit cards because they can get money to use, not thinking, well, they have to pay it back. So those are the stage of thrills. And then once they get involved and start to acquire material facilities, then they got into bills. Bills starts piling up, and then we start working so hard, and next thing we're getting ills. So we get ills, and after ills, we have to start taking pills, by which time our life is running out. We have to write our wills. So these stages are there, whether it's devotee or non-devotee. It's there. If you think about it logically, it's there. So these stages are there that everyone passes through. So Krishna is giving the facility that, okay, here are the rules and regulations of the scripture, and you can take it or leave it. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, he related the entire Bhagavad Gita. And towards the end, what did he say? He asked Arjuna, he said, have you understood? You know, do you want me to repeat everything again? You know, he didn't say, now I give you this, now you must follow. No. He said, now it's your choice, you can take it or leave it. You've given everything, and now it's your choice. You can choose which path you want to. So, a devotee, you know, it's Krishna's expectation and his loving desire that a devotee live by the principle of dharma aviruddha bhuteshu, that we live a life that are not against religious principles. Not viruddha, but aviruddha. That does not go against religious principles. And throughout the scripture, there's so many examples of great devotees or even very simple devotees who live their lives apparently very simple and basic, but they live it in line with religious principles. And thus, they enjoy life, like in the third canto, this with the chapter 22, with the marriage of Kardamuni and Devahuti. It described there how they enjoy life together, this very opulent emperor, king. They enjoy life by how? By following religious principles. Their entire life from in the morning to the evening, it was all centered around devotional service, religious principles, and a peaceful life, you know, without breaking any principles. So there's nothing wrong with enjoying material life. That's perfectly okay. As long as we do it in conjunction with scriptures. I know Srila Prabhupada talked about that only half of his work was done. He said the other half was to establish Varnashram Dharma. And that not everyone would become devotees. So, even if one doesn't become a devotee, but if you live a religious life, if you live a structured life, according to the scriptural injunction, then so much benefits are there. There's absolutely no harm. And there's so much benefits that are there if we simply structure ourselves. Anywhere we go as human beings, we have to get structured. We're going to school, there is a structure, there are principles, not like the animals that, you know, that we don't follow rules and regulations. Even though now some of the animals understand. The last time I was in India, I don't know where we were, you know, usually it's crowded, so much crowd, and everyone shares the road. You know, the trucks, the humans, the animals, everybody. So the car we were driving in pulled up, and everything was crossing, everyone and everything was crossing, and as soon as the light came on, this cow held back. The cow was there and it stopped at the red light. And I was thinking, oh, you know, they just stop. And as soon as the light came, turned green, the cow continued walking across. So I said, wow, yeah, this cow is more intelligent than many of us. And more principled, you know, you understand rules and regulations. So I've seen that myself. That's not, if maybe someone had told me, I probably wouldn't have believed it, but I saw it myself. So, like that, you know, rules and regulations are there. Even when you go to school, I know I got kicked out from school one day. When I grew up, we had to get to school early, and I had to walk a mile to go to school. It takes me about an hour or so. And so it was dark, and I was late for school, and I just grabbed my socks, put them on, and ran out. And every morning when we go in class, before we go into school, we have to lift our pants and show what color of socks we were wearing. And that, it was bright then. When I left home, it was a little dark. And when I pull it up, one was black and one was navy blue. And the teacher says, home, get back home. I had to walk 1 hour back home, get a change, and 1 hour to walk back to school. So, you know, these principles are there. These regulations are there. Similarly, in the scripture, regulations are there, and they are there for us to follow. And they're not difficult. You know, it's not difficult at all. And our merciful Srimati Radharani is always watching us. You know, we heard this nice class yesterday from Mother Mati. So I was thinking when I was listening to the class that look how wonderful, you know, Srimati Radharani is. Then afterwards, once that class finished, I tuned into another class. And this devotee was saying that Radharani is so merciful that even if we do a little bit of service, she recognizes and she contacts Krishna, hey, this person has done this little service. So he said, even this one devotee, Radharani, is telling Krishna, hey, look at this one devotee. He's sitting in your Bhagavatam class, in your Bhagavatam discourse, and he's sleeping. So just see how wonderful he is. He could have been sleeping at home or sleeping somewhere else, but he chose to come to your class and sleep. So therefore, he's very wonderful that, you know, giving your blessings. So that's how fortunate we are that devotional service is very simple. All we have to do, chant Hare Krishna and follow some principles. We take some prasadam, we dance a little for Krishna, and we discuss a little bit of his philosophy. So very simple. Srila Prabhupada says it's also difficult in that we have to do this every day. So that's the hard part. It's simple because all we do is chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophizing, as we saw yesterday. This wonderful kirtan was going on. You know, some devotees were dancing in the temple room. We are not allowed to stay much in the temple room. So some are dancing outside, some are clapping their hands in the caverns, going out to see they're just shaking. You know, so they were dancing wherever they can. We were chanting, dancing, chanting. We were taking prasadam, and we discussed Krishna's pastimes. But we do this every day. And once we do this every day, this consistency is what brings about our devotional development. This is what gives us the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Even though we might not recognize it, we might not see it in ourselves, but consistency is the key to anything. Once we're consistent, then advancement comes about. So these are some of the points that I have. If anyone has any questions or comments, Mother Sukada.
I was thinking of your devotee who had the motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
And how, you know, generally it is kind of like, you know, you do something and you get a reaction for it. But I know for devotees, Krishna takes a special interest in each person. So even in this motorcycle accident, it's not even necessarily he did something so he's getting punished. Like Krishna's making a special arrangement for him. You know, like maybe instead of having to be in the material world for 100 lifetimes, he's in for one lifetime.
Yeah.
But Krishna can't control our desire, you know, he could have seen it as like, oh, this is Krishna's mercy, and, you know, Krishna has the my best interests in mind. He took it another way.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not abnormal for that to happen because, you know, we're conditioned, and when we're suffering, it's a little harder to think. You know,
did he remain a devotee that?
Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. As far as I remember, I know.
But also to remember that, you know, it's so important to remember that actually Krishna is doing everything for our benefit. Mm. I remember once in my life, I felt that way, you know, under certain circumstances, and I said, you know, I'm angry at Krishna because, you know, again, I'm working so hard and this is my reward. And the devotee just turned to me and said, a devotee never gets angry at Krishna. And that kind of just stopped me, you know. I thought, wow, yeah, okay. I'm a devotee, devotee doesn't get angry at Krishna, so I can't be angry. Well, anyway, thank you. I'll never forget the stills.
Hare Krishna.
That's really, it was really great.
Yeah, it's practical. Yeah, Maru Marmati.
That, we can't hear that microphone.
I was thinking about, you were saying that, you know, the training that you got, that fact that you went there, you know, walked for an hour, mm-hmm. and then the teacher, it's like military, you know?
Yes.
but it gives a certain training, which I was thinking that unfortunately, nowadays, if something like that would be done, which almost seems an extreme, but that training in young, at a young age, certainly with all the affection and everything one needs, you know, as growing up, but even having that training is, I think, something very important that stays with one's person as they grow and as an adult. And unfortunately, it's not so much appreciated nowadays. Too permissive kind of training nowadays, kids are given, or even if the teachers are giving some training, then the parents don't, you know, complain, you know, they may complain or whatever. But I was appreciating that, again, it has to not be extreme, but yet at the same time, that kind of training is, I think, very good. Like you were talking about being, use our independence by being dependent, you know, being dependent on the Lord. Mm-hmm. So basically what it means is to follow what the Lord is saying. And so thank you very much.
Yeah,
appreciating
yes.
that.
Yeah, so this is what is this verse is saying here. This purport is saying, Mother Sri Devi. Yeah, so this is what this verse is indicating, that Krishna is giving us our independence with a great hope that we use it correctly. And that's all that is required for us. We don't have to give up. We don't have to give up so much. You know, we just have to divert our attention. Like as you were speaking, I was thinking about the four stages that the devotee passed through. From attachment to detachment, from attachment to renunciation to detachment, and then attachment again. That a devotee, once you get exposed to devotional service, then the very first thing we learn to do is to get detached from material life, from things around us. So that's the, you know, initially we are all attached. And when we learn that, well, we should learn to be detached. Then we start to renounce things that, okay, I don't want to do these activities. I remember when we were so fanatic in our Krishna consciousness back in the 80s, that even to get a driver's license, I said, no, that's Maya. You know, so, and then my guru called me, said, you go and get your driver's license. This is for Krishna service. So I became the first one to get a driver's license. So anyway, so the first thing is that we from attachment, then we become renounced. Then we learn that, no, these things, we should be detached from them, but we use it in Krishna's service. So that's a stage of detachment. We use it in Krishna's service. And then once we use that in Krishna's service, then we come to the next stage of being attached to Krishna. So I was just thinking like that, yeah. Yes, Mother Sri Devi?
Thank you for your very nice class. Just in regards to how Krishna brings us closer to him, in regards to that accident that you were talking about, you know, I'm in awe of people who can, you know, really see that when something like that happens, and to see it is like Krishna's trying to bring me closer. And I was remembering this devotee, this Mataji, who was here. She passed away from cancer like a few years ago. I forgot her name. She was in our community. And I was speaking to her, and she was telling me how she actually came to understand that this cancer was mercy from Krishna, because it was the only thing that was going to bring her like to Krishna again, because she had left Krishna consciousness. And she said she saw it as mercy because it took like her getting this terminal disease to come back to Krishna, and so she was able to see it as Krishna's mercy.
And so that's really wonderful, that those are really practical examples that we should try to remember as you are, and to try to see our surroundings and try to encourage others to see in that way. Sometime ago, I think it was in 1992, we had that huge hurricane that broke the destroyed the Puerto Rico temple. I believe it was in 1992. So one of our God brothers there, I think Lokanath his name was? Anyway, Lokanath, yeah. So they were helping to rebuild the temple, and they were putting cinder blocks. So he was at the bottom and passing up cinder blocks on top, giving the one devotee. And one of the cinder block slipped and fell on his back. And a cinder block is about 40 pounds. And he was hospitalized. And he was telling me afterwards that he was so angry that the devotees came to the hospital and saying, "Come on, Prabhu, you're not this body. You know, why are you complaining about suffering? Just get up and go. Let's go and complete the temple." And he said if he had energy and the anger he got into, he could have strangled him. You know? So when you're in that situation, it's difficult to think. Imagine like what Srila Prabhupada passed through. Srila Prabhupada confided into one devotee in his later days. He said throughout his traveling all over, he said he had this, which he never revealed, this sharp kidney pains. So sharp, he said it was like unbearable. And he never complained about it. He performed all his activities completely normal. No one knew of it. But he was able to function so clearly. So, you know, it's kind of encouraging that, okay, how a devotee should act. For us, sometimes for me, it's a little scary. But okay, you know, so much we have to go, you know, so much different stages. But again, it's very simple. We chant Hare Krishna, follow some principles, and that's enough. Srila Prabhupada said that's enough to take us back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.